And welcome to another episode of Talking Aerospace Today from Siemens Digital Industry Software. I'm Patty Russo. I'm responsible for global marketing for aerospace and defense vertical here at Siemens. Thank you for joining our conversation today. We're continuing our journey on the five levels of digital transformation maturity: configuration, connection, automation, generative design, and closed loop optimization. Our last few episodes were focused on automation, how companies can automate mundane engineering processes and grow their automation to encompass more authoritative capabilities. Before we discuss the generative design stage of digital transformation maturity, let's take a little time to delve into a topic that will be very key as we proceed on our journey. And that topic is artificial intelligence and machine learning, or we'll refer to it as AIML. Joining us today is our VP of A&D here at Siemens, Todd Tuttle. Welcome back, Todd.
Hey, Patty. It's great to have you and great to talk about this really important topic in aerospace.
And joining us today, in addition to Todd, we have another guest to teach us more about AIML, how it can help the A&D industry. So we brought an expert on the subject, Justin Hodges. He is the AIML Technical Specialist and Product Manager for Siemens SimCenter. Welcome, Justin.
Hi, everybody. Always a pleasure to show up and talk about machine learning. Thanks for having me and inviting me on.
Awesome. And without further ado, let's just dive right in. So, Todd, why is AIML critical to maturing the digital transformation in our industry?
Yeah, great question, Patty. And I want listeners to understand, it's not just the cool, fun, shiny BB we're going after. I really believe that this is something that brings real value to our customers in aerospace and defense. And you've all heard me talk before on previous podcasts about the key issue that I see in aerospace and defense right now, and it's workforce. We have all of these great things, these great innovations that are coming, all of this work we need to do in the next 5 to 10 years. There aren't enough engineers to design the products. There aren't enough technicians to build them. And this whole idea of digital transformation maturity, and specifically today that we're talking about artificial intelligence, is a way to multiply the impact of that workforce. So that's the value. That's the why. Now, how do we get to artificial intelligence and why is it so important? So I'll refer you back to the example I used in the previous podcast on authoritative automation. I talked about the industry in terms of personal navigation and how that was transformed by a new technology that became available 15, 20 years ago that democratized access to GPS data. Well, I really see this time we're in right now is this real inflection point in aerospace and defense, where we have this great need, this great opportunity to invest in all these new products. And there's this key technology that's available today, AIML, that's really going to enable that inflection point, enable that growth. I really see AIML as the similar technology to aerospace design and product design in a similar way that GPS was to the personal navigation industry 15, 20 years ago. And I'll make a prediction. I really think that by 2023, the way we design things, the way we create products in aerospace will look completely different. And that whole change will be primarily enabled by AIML. And there'll be two kinds of companies in 2033. There'll be companies that have fully embraced AIML, and there'll be companies that are no longer in business. And that's why I see this as so critical to aerospace and defense right now.
So that's a great setup. And while I'm sure some of our listeners have a handle, at least at the onset of AIML, what it is and how they could potentially leverage it, Justin, can you give us a brief explanation from your point of view? Why has this become such a hot topic?
Sure. And I'll do so by starting out to address that great inflection point reference you made, and as well the comment and parallel for GPS. One I haven't thought of before, but I love it. I think it's great. And I think you can look at some of the hyperscalers on AI, the Microsoft and Google and those sorts of companies, and Meta doing the innovations on the AI side. And those are really the hyperscaling effects that will affect other industries like the one that we're in of engineering simulation, aerospace, etc. And the proof is there. I mean, the innovations that they're making and advancements aren't just theoretical or postulated, but it's completely changing markets. And these companies are some of the wealthiest of all time as a result of what they're enabling on the AI side. And why is this time different? Well, no one really knows, but there's usually a few key things that people point out when they answer that question. First, to say, yes, every 10 years, it seems that there is some sort of bump in AI in terms of trending and popularity, but it usually has just faded away. This time, it's clear that it's past the threshold of just hype, and it's being integrated and actually changing the way a lot of industries do business. And I think part of that is the GPU technology, back when people were mining coins all the time, and that was a craze. You know, it's a similar parallel sort of parallelization sort of enabled in the hardware, which essentially has now made it so that with the better GPUs that are out there, more complicated, sophisticated machine learning models are now possible, which means that they can do more advanced things, more useful things, more accurate models, handle larger amounts of data to make more general predictions and things of that nature. So I'd say those are some of the key facets as to the why this time's different and why it's here to stay. Now, you part of your question that I'll briefly touch on was, well, what is it, right? Well, I love this example of transfer learning and machine learning, and that's exactly what I'll embrace here. So assuming most people are mechanical engineers, aerospace engineers, and I'll just use that concept of transfer learning to talk on topics we're familiar with from our disciplines and studies. AI is kind of like advanced regression in a very literal sense. You know, you may have learned about linear regression and that sort of thing. Well, now we're able to do more nonlinear problems in fitting higher dimensional spaces with machine learning. It's also in a flowchart type high-level abstraction way, like feedback controls transfer functions. You know, I have some input, I have some output signal. You know, in our textbooks for feedback controls, we have these relationships on how the input-output signal are related. It's kind of like that, but the interior box is now the machine learning model, providing these correlations to inputs and outputs in terms of the data that's coming in and the results we're predicting. And it's that mechanism by which it can provide that understanding of their two. So maybe those are familiar concepts to start on as far as building blocks on what exactly this is for us.
There was a lot packed in there, Justin, and I'm going to try to drill down on a couple of things. You mentioned the term hyperscaling, and I want to just put a point on that. Can you give a little bit more of an explanation on that? And then I've got a quick follow-up, if you could just touch on that first, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a food chain in the AI world, right? Of people that are using the end application, people that are developing the end application, people that are creating these influential world-renowned models like ChatGPT, and then the companies that are working on the actual libraries for creating those world-renowned models in Python, for example, like TensorFlow. And so there's ripples that go outwards and affect everybody. And when I say hyperscalers, I mean the companies that have the largest ripples. You know, when Microsoft does something and has some innovation, when NVIDIA comes out with an insane new GPU that can enable this technology to leap ahead. Hyperscaling is to say that those types of companies in the mainstream are making such rapid advancements that us as cross-pollination, you know, industries that are taking advantage of those innovations and applying them in our own, it's a rising tide that lifts all boats. And we're seeing that these hyperscalers are really raising the tide for us.
That's really helpful, and I appreciate that explanation. I've got a follow-up for something else that you mentioned in your first answer, which was around predictions. What is the reality of how AI will help industries like aerospace and defense leverage that technology for predictions? What does that mean to their practical day-to-day or practical processes for developing complex products?
I'll have to be judicious here. I think there's probably dozens of use cases I could point out to answer that question in different flavors. But to stick to sort of the examples I gave, many will be familiar with reduced order models, statistical models, these sorts of way of using these approaches to get predictions in lieu of traditional means, whether that's taking test data and coming up with the results of a test or running a simulation model and getting results of the simulation. We can do things in replacement or in surrogate to those approaches with things like reduced order models. And AI fits there perfectly as options inside of that category of reduced order models. And so in essence, I think a huge focus area and huge theme for SimCenter and broader and CAE is how we can speed up our work with faster insights by making use of the machine learning models and innovations there to predict things for us. So we can get predictions in a fraction of a second rather than maybe a 30-hour window of setting up test equipment, acquiring data, and then processing it, as one example.
And Justin, if I could follow up too, just maybe an even more fundamental question, because I'm assuming we have listeners who are saying, gee, you know, I saw a news story about AI on the news once, but I don't really know what that is. because we talk about AI, artificial intelligence, and ML, machine learning, as two separate things sometimes, or sometimes we talk about it as the same thing. But can you just give us a high-level definition of artificial intelligence and then contrast that with machine learning? How are they the same? How are they different? How do they work together?
Right. So the best definition I can give that you'll for sure remember is that AI is ice cream and machine learning is vanilla ice cream. So machine learning is a subset of AI, and those are the approaches that we're familiar with, like neural networks or maybe random forests, these sorts of things. And then furthermore, you could say ice cream with, you know, fudge. That would be a subcategory of machine learning, which could be deep learning, which would be machine learning applications like neural networks that have many, many layers inside and become these gigantic, huge models that take up a lot of memory and have really good predictive power. So yeah, it's a subcategory of AI. And I would say a lot of the stuff that we'll talk about is machine learning.
One of my favorite topics, ice cream. You got to love it. I love the analogy, and it helps people wrap their heads around it. So thank you for that. I'm going to turn to Todd for my next question, and that is around engineering processes. Can you talk about some examples of how you see artificial intelligence improving engineering processes in our industry? And then I'll follow up with a question to Justin. But yeah, Todd, if you could cover the first answer on that, that would be great.
Sure. We talk about workforce and the real need to preserve workforce. There's a Forbes study last year that said in the IT engineering industry, 25% of your staff will leave your company this year. 2022, the statistics were 25% turnover rate. It may not be quite as bad in 2023. The workforce has kind of changed a bit, but still technology companies are losing a whole lot of intelligence. It's walking out the door. And one of the best applications I see for artificial intelligence is a way to capture, retain, and reuse all of that knowledge from those very, very intelligent and capable workers that are leaving your workforce. And that's why we kind of talk about machine learning, that there's artificial intelligence, which is the ability to, you know, reuse data, think of things in new ways, but it's fundamental, I think, especially in the aerospace industry. I don't think we're going to create a ChatGPT anywhere in the near future where we're going to say, ChatGPT, design me an aircraft, and poof, an aircraft is going to pop out, right? That's not within our lifetimes, I don't think. But what I think is within our lifetimes and within just the next few years is the ability to tap into this vast library of data that aerospace and defense customers have, this data lake, to tap into their data lake, and we'll leave those data lakes proprietary for our customers to reuse, but to take that information and to reuse it and to learn from it to do new things and new innovations based on the way they design things. And on top of that, to apply ideas and concepts and rules that the subject matter expert at these companies would use. I think of it, you know, I joined an aerospace company that did flight control system design 20 some years ago. And one of the first things I did when I got there is I spent time in a room at a whiteboard with the really, really smart engineers there and just ask a bunch of questions. And I learned from them. And I think that in the future, we're going to have tools and solutions that learn from those experts the same way I did when I started in flight control system design 25, 30 years ago. And that will really, I think, that's a use case that I'm very interested in because it's so needed in the aerospace world right now as all of these workers leave the workforce.
No doubt, Todd. It seems like there are so many opportunities for the industry to use AI in ways that can help engineers expedite things like knowledge sharing and do that proverbial more with less. I am sorry to say, though, that this is the end of our time for today, but we'll continue the discussion about AI in aerospace next time. Thank you so much to Todd and Justin for joining us, and thank you to our listeners. I really hope you found this conversation about AI as interesting as I did, and we all hope that you're beginning to think about how you can advance digital transformation at your organization. I'm Patty Russo, and I look forward to having you back on another episode of Talking Aerospace Today.